grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for this morning's sermon is taken from St. Mark's Gospel account, the first chapter. Beloved in the Lord, maybe you've seen the latest video that's trending on YouTube. It's a video of two young children, Goldilocks, about 2 years old, and her older blue-eyed brother. They're sitting at the dinner table, and little sister is just crying. Oh, she's crying like two-year-olds do when they need a nap. She cries to the left, and she cries to the right. Oh, the sorrow that fills her heart as the tears fall down her cheek. Big brother sitting there watching her, he asks her, "Did you get your nap today?" Oh, and the crying begins again. No, weeps Goldilocks. No, she didn't get her nap. Oh, the crocodile tears are flowing. Big brother, still trying to help, replies once more, "No, you need one." "No, I don't," she cries. "No, I don't." It's a picture we've all seen in our children, isn't it? Little ones crying because they need to rest. Thankfully, Goldilocks grows up. And our little ones stop crying when they need naps. Well, little ones grow up into adults. But for so many, the crying continues inside. This is our world. A world full of grown-ups who need rest. Grown-ups who cry but refuse to listen. Grown-ups who hurt and neglect the remedy. And it's into this world, our world, that Jesus, our Lord, steps. Our text says that John has been arrested. The herald's time is fulfilled. John now must decrease and Jesus must increase. The mightier one is here. And wet with the Father's blessing and battle-tested in the wilderness, this mightier one has come for the redemption of the world, the peace which passes all understanding, to give rest to the weary. Come for you and me and for the whole world. He's come for Jew and for Gentile, slave and free, male and female, all who suffer the curse, all who cry on the inside. Like our trending Goldilocks, we suffer the consequences of our works. Like two-year-olds, we exert our independence. And like stubborn children, we refuse the comfort of the one who knows better, the one who knows us better. We think that because we're all grown up, that we can go about doing whatever it is that makes us feel good. And so we chase the delights of the flesh. We indulge in forbidden pleasures. We serve our bellies and our libidos, or both. We cater to our self-esteem and we stroke our egos. We long to be affirmed in our wrongs while denying our duty to do right. We covet. We possess. We desire. We lust. Our eyes wander because our hearts love the wrong things, and our hearts hurt because those whom we do love, we love for pleasure's sake rather than for the sake of our beloved. We love to get from rather than give to. Someone's always taking from us, so we're always taking from others. And all of this chasing, indulging, self-serving, catering, stroking, longing, coveting, lusting, desiring, wrong, loving, and taking is exhausting. And it's sin. And sin's toll is death. The exhaustion we suffer, the tears we cry on the inside or the out, the hurts we feel deep down are all symptoms of a greater crisis. For in reality, we are suffering a crisis of the heart and of the soul, one which permeates our whole being and touches every aspect of our life. And it is a crisis, beloved, that we cannot fix ourselves. We don't need to do more. What we need is to be still and know that the Lord is God. We need to stop. We need to repent. And we need to rest. And our rest is not found in the lack of work, nor is it discovered in the methods of our piety, or the intensity of our love, or the fervor of our devotion to our heart's desire, our rest, beloved, is found in a person, a Savior, one mightier than us, one who brings good news of the kingdom of God in our midst. He is Jesus, and he steps into our world, into our lives, to work his wonders, that we may know his power and his might, so that all may know his name, that he is the Lord. This Jesus works his wonders through his word. For Jesus hasn't come in the majesty of his eternal glory, but in the humility of our mortality. Jesus hasn't come to swing swords or gather armies. Not come in splendor and radiance, but in simplicity and very ordinariness. Though Jesus went about doing good, working miracles, astounding both the wise and the fool alike, his chief labor of love was to preach. And so Jesus appears on the scene of this broken world, preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God. And this is no ordinary good news. This isn't man's kind of good. This is God's good news. This is God's kind of good. The good from the beginning. The very good spoken over all creation. It's the good news of Isaiah's messenger, the one with beautiful feet, who publishes peace and brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." This is the good news of the kingdom of our God, for the Lord is comforting his people. He's redeeming his Jerusalem. What sort of comfort is he giving to his people? He cries, he speaks tenderly to his Jerusalem, that her warfare is ended, her iniquity pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And not twice as much punishment or wrath, but a double blessing of grace and mercy.
Amen.
For the Lord delights in love, and love forgives. Love bears all things, even the cost of that forgiveness. For the good news of God's reign is that his Son has appeared to bear his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations. God has become flesh. He's taken upon himself our nature, our poverty, our curse, so that in him the curse is put to death, through death on a tree. Cursed is the man who hangs on the tree. There, beloved, is your curse. It's crucified in the death of Jesus. There, beloved, is your sin. It's covered in the wounds of Jesus. There is your peace. It's purchased by the blood of Jesus. And there is your eternal comfort. It is in the body of Jesus. And there is your rest. It is one in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. For there is your God. And there he reigns for all the nations to see. Indeed, beloved, how beautiful are the feet of him who is good news in the flesh for you and for me and for the whole world. And this good news is quite mobile. He doesn't just stand in one place calling to the nations, but he moves about the land, crying to the left and calling to the right, calling people to come and follow, exhorting them to come and rest. And who does he find first? He finds Peter, and then Andrew, his brother, and then James, and then John, his brother. Where does he find them? He finds them in the water. But they're in the water for themselves. They're fishermen. They're in the water to live and move and have their being. But Jesus calls them out of the water. So out of the water they come. And following Jesus, they go. You also, beloved, have been called out of the water. The waters of your baptism. To live and move and have your whole being in the word and promises of our God. For there, through water and the divine word, the Savior has called you by your very name. He's crossed you with his cross and raised you with his resurrection. All that is his, he has given to you as a gift. And all that weighed heavy on your heart, all your hurts and all your sorrows, all your guilt and all your shame, all your sins and all your tears, he's taken them away. Taken them unto himself and buried them forever in his death. He's caught you. caught you in the net of his word, and brought you into the fellowship of his church. You are his, and he is yours. No need to be anxious. No need to be afraid. No need to doubt. No need for chasing, indulging, self-serving, catering, stroking, longing, coveting, lusting, desiring, wrong-loving, and taking. No need to exhaust yourself, attempting to still your restless heart. Jesus has given you the good news, poured it into your heart by the Holy Spirit, and brought you into his rest by grace. Beloved in the Lord, there are many who would read this text and believe that all Christians must be made into fishers of men. That's not what the text says, nor is it what the text means. Indeed, some are to be fishers of men, but most are not. These men who are to be fishers of men have that as their vocation. Jesus has specially called them to not only follow, which is the call of every person, but also to fish, which is the call to certain persons. You don't need to fish for men. You need to be caught in the net of God's word. You need to be gathered into the ark of his church. You need to be comforted with the forgiveness of your sins. You need to be at peace with your God and your neighbor. No, beloved, you don't need to continue crying to the left and crying to the right, crying on the pillows or crying on the inside. You need to rest. You need to rest in the good news of your God. Your warfare is ended. Your iniquity has been pardoned. You have received double for your sins. And Jesus has paid for it all with his blood. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.